Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you something out of Luke, and I read it last week. How many will listen real fast? If you will listen real fast, it won't take me very long, okay? Amen. But it's very, very important that you remember everything you just heard plus what I'm going to say, okay? Luke 10:17-20 in the Amplified says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'Hey, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan. And nothing will in any way harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven.'" Holy Spirit, help me say what you want me to say, what you want said. He says, listen carefully. He says, listen carefully. Don't get so excited about the fact that you have authority that the devil's subject to you. I've given you that power. I watched him fall. I know all about him. I've given you that power. So listen carefully. Don't get so excited about that. Get excited about the fact that your name's written in heaven. Now, you know how many know sometimes we get our attention focused the wrong direction. Sometimes we get our thinking, you know, a little, sometimes we just get a little bit sidetracked. Does anybody do that besides me? I spend a lot of time talking about blessing, and I just believe God's got some blessing. I believe He wants to do some things in your life that are so big that it'll just make you walk around with your mouth open, just going, wow. I just believe He wants to touch you in every area of your life. And I've spent the last few weeks talking to us about the authority that Jesus gave us back over the devil. But let's set all that aside here just for a minute. Because all the benefits, because the benefits are so numerous, we can't even tell them all. Amen. God is so big, we can't even comprehend. Amen. Let's set all this aside and let's focus on what we're supposed to be focused on. You know, these folks here, they kind of lost sight of what they were sent to do. They weren't sent to whip the devil around. They evidently did. How many's ever whipped him around a little bit? How many ever had some victory over the devil? Is that all? How many ever had some victory over the devil? That feels pretty good, doesn't it? I just want to kick him one more time, man. I just like to kick him. I just like to do it, you know. But they weren't sent out to whip the devil. He was already whipped. They were sent out to tell people about Jesus. They were sent out to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. They got so amazed at the authority and the power that they had over the devil that they forgot what they really went to do. I wonder if sometimes that doesn't happen to us. We get so excited over the blessings and the things God's doing in our life. And I've been telling you all this stuff because I felt like the Lord told me to tell you. I believe He wants you to be ready. He wants you to expect His goodness in your life. He wants you to be ready for that. But how many know, man, when good stuff's happening in your life, sometimes it's so easy to get so distracted that we forget why we're getting blessed. You see, the promise to Abraham and the promise to us is, I will make you a blessing so you can be a blessing. Sometimes, just like them, we forget what we're really supposed to do. I want to read you a verse out of Matthew 23:23, and I really just want to take a phrase out of this verse, but I'll read the whole thing. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier things, the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. These things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Now that's a great sermon. We'll do that verse, we'll do that again sometime and preach on tithing. Because I've heard people say, well, God didn't say in the New Testament to tithe. Well, Jesus just did. He said these things. He said you're tithing on everything down to the last little mint leaf. These things you ought to do. But you had not to leave the weightier things undone. You see, there's a lot of things that we can do and we should do and we do, but the phrase that I wanted out of this was we shouldn't leave the other things undone. We shouldn't leave the most important thing undone. Are you with me? Yeah. I wonder as we walk in God's goodness and how as we're experiencing all this stuff that's beginning to happen in our lives and I wonder are we leaving, I wonder as a church, are we leaving anything undone? I wonder in your life, are you leaving anything undone? Let me read you real quick. Out of 2 Peter, I'm going to read you 4 or 5 verses here. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He said, "But the day of the Lord, it will come as a thief in the night, which when the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in the earth will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conduct and conversation? Looking for and hastening to the coming day of God, to the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, which righteousness dwells." I just wonder, if we don't have a eternity concept, if we're not focusing on eternity, we lose our meaning. We lose our way. If we're not focusing on souls being saved, if we're not focused on what God's focused on, we're just fumbling around out here. We're just sometimes like a reed blown in the wind. We're just looking for purpose and looking for meaning. Because if you take that fact away that we're all going to spend eternity somewhere, and that's the most important thing, is that we be right with God. If you take that away, then we have no purpose. We have no direction. We have no meaning. Jesus said, or Peter said here, that God is not willing that anybody should perish. I had somebody tell me here a while back, said, Hank, you can't get everybody saved. And I said, why not? Who said? God doesn't want anybody to perish. Who said we can't get everybody saved? Who said we can't win everyone for the Lord? Well, I just don't know. I don't know how either, but if I'm not trying to win everybody, I probably won't win anybody. Well, in Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, what did it say about those things? What did Jesus say? He said that there is more joy. He said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. He said there's joy in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents, one person who repents. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that wins souls is wise. See, when we lose that passion, and when we lose that ambition, that purpose to go after the lost and to accomplish something, to do what God wants to do with our lives, then we might as well just go to the bar and get drunk, or, you know, we might as well just go ahead and die and go on wherever we're going. We're here for a purpose. I see young people and I see old people struggling. They said, I just don't have any meaning. It's because you're not focused on what God's focused on. He's not focused on the few years we stay here. He's focused on eternity. And He wants me to be with Him for eternity. He wants you to be with Him for eternity. But He wants everybody you know to be with Him for eternity. Well, I'm gonna cut some scriptures here because I wanna get this thing done. But you see, James said in 5:20, he said, he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Church, it's our responsibility. Believer, it's our responsibility to win people to Christ. That's our purpose. That's our purpose. You know, we're gonna come to the end of this thing real quick. And the Bible talks about two judgments. In Revelation 11, it talks about the great white throne judgment. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you'll have to stand at that judgment. But the only problem with the end of that judgment, there's only one place that you go, and that's to hell. But there's also another place that the Bible talks about. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And he said this, he said, therefore, whether we are at home on earth or away from home with Him, talking to believers, said, it is our constant ambition to be pleasing to Him. For we, believers, will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each one of us will be held responsible for our actions, our purpose, our goals, our motives, and the use of our time and opportunities and abilities. Is that plain enough? Now, let me tell you a secret. Let me tell you something. The devil likes to use those kind of scriptures, and he likes to use those things to make us feel condemned. How many feel I'm not doing enough? Be honest. And it really, the truth is, it doesn't matter how much you do. If you're going to go by feelings, you'll still feel like you're not doing enough. So that's not my purpose here, to make you feel guilty today so you'll do more. No, my purpose here today is to let you see that maybe you're not so bad after all, and you can do a whole lot of things. See, when I talk about winning souls, and we'll talk about this more for a few weeks, but you know, you ought to be able to lead somebody to the Lord, but that's not the only thing involved. See, so get that picture. We're going to go soul winning, where you put the big Bible under your arm and you get that real serious look on your face and you go and start knocking doors to people that don't want you to knock on their door, and you get all that out of your mind. Amen. And just realize you probably are doing something to win souls. And when we realize that, then it opens up the door so in our lives we do more. Does that make sense? And you see, we all have heard this, but you can't tell. You can count how many apples are on a tree, but you can't count how many trees are in an apple. And that's the same way with the souls and the people that we influence. Okay? I was reading about Billy Graham the other day. How many ever heard of Billy Graham? I was reading about Billy Graham the other day, and it's estimated now that through his crusades, through his radio, TV, there have been over 2.5 billion people touched that actually heard the sound of his voice. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? And I thought, wow, how? And it's still happening. And even after he dies, it's going to still be happening, because people will be watching his tapes and listening to the programs. And I thought, how amazing. And then I thought, you know, I was reading about another guy, a guy named Mordecai Ham. How many ever heard of him? Quite a few less. But you see, Mordecai Ham just happened to come to Charlotte, North Carolina in 1934 and have a crusade, and a boy named Billy Graham got saved in that crusade. So I guess maybe Mordecai Ham was maybe kind of responsible for 2.5 billion plus people hearing the gospel. Are you with me? I thought that was pretty neat. And then I was reading about a guy named Billy Sunday. How many ever heard of Billy Sunday? A few more. Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player that got saved, and he started being an evangelist, and he had crusades, big tent meetings, and the thing about Billy Sunday is that he was having one of these big crusades, and a guy named Mordecai Ham got saved in that crusade. And Mordecai Ham had won and got Billy Graham saved. So I guess you could say maybe Billy Sunday was kind of responsible, had a hand in 2.5 billion plus people getting saved. Are you with me? Well, but then I was looking at a guy named Wilbur Chapman. Now, Wilbur Chapman was an evangelist, and he preached to thousands and thousands of people. And probably a lot more than Billy Sunday did, but he preached to thousands and thousands of people, and he had a young man that helped him set up chairs in his crusade. And this man for years set up chairs in his crusade, and until he got a burden and an influence on him, and he began to start preaching. And this young man that set up chairs in the crusade was Billy Sunday. So I guess maybe Wilbur Chapman had a little thing in this, you think? Everybody's heard of Dwight Moody. Anybody here heard of Dwight Moody? If you haven't, what in the world, where have you been? But Google him and read about him. But what was interesting is Dwight Moody, He preached on two continents and led thousands, if not millions, to the Lord. Dwight Moody had a thing that he made with God. He said, "God, I will never let a day pass that I don't personally witness to somebody about Jesus." And one night he had preached to thousands in a crusade meeting, and he got back in his room, and it was real late at night, and he realized, I haven't personally witnessed to anybody. And he looked out the window, and there was a drunk standing on the street corner under the street light, and he went down and witnessed to him and got the man saved. Dwight Moody was quite a guy. But you see, it was in one of Dwight Moody's that a guy named Wilbur Chapman got saved, who then got Billy Sunday saved, who then got Mordecai Ham saved, that then got Billy Graham saved. Huh. Well, and then I got to reading about a guy named Edward Kimball. How many's ever heard of Edward Kimball? Nobody. If you raise your hand, you're probably lying. And nobody raised their hand, by the way, so the invitation will be a lot shorter. Edward Campbell was just a Sunday school teacher. I don't know if he is here, he'd just be a children's church teacher. He was just a Sunday school teacher, and he was teaching teenage boys, and how many know how rowdy and difficult teenage boys can be sometimes? And all the girls are waving or nodding their head, yes, but so he went to a shoe store and to talk to one of the rowdiest kids in his class, and this kid was stocking shoes on a rack, and he went to talk to him about the Lord at the shoe store and won him to the Lord while he's putting shoes on the rack. But this rowdy young man happened to be Dwight Moody. So I guess maybe this little old Sunday school teacher that nobody knows anything about that influenced and got Dwight Moody saved, that got Wilbur Chapman saved, that got Billy Sunday saved, that got Mordecai Ham saved, who got Billy Graham saved. Are you with me? We could go on with the story. We could trace it all the way back if we had time to. There was a man born. His name was Jesus. We could trace it all the way back. But what I want you to see is that what you do makes a difference. Doug has something that he says at most of the funerals he does. He says something about the fact that he believes that the prayers of those that have gone on, the prayers that they prayed for their family and things, those prayers go on and on and on even after that person's died. I believe that. I believe that. But what I want you to understand is your fruits go on and on and on. The fruits of your labor go on and on and on. And see, what you think doesn't really mean much does mean something. You see, if you gave to help these young people and these workers go to this conference, You kind of have a part in anything they do. Does that make sense? And who knows, one of y'all might be a Billy Graham or a Joyce Myers. One of y'all might be. And so even if you're just part of this church and you just give every Sunday, I want you to realize you're part of something bigger. You're investing something that's important. Every person you influence, whether it's in the nurseries. I look at Dan. Dan has been, he grew up from our nurseries. So if you got a problem with Dan, you have to get on the nursery workers because that they rocked him when he was little. Not his fault. If you're a nursery worker, if you're a children's church worker, if you work in the teens, if you're part of Woven, if you're part of cell groups, the people that you influence are a good investment. And everybody can have a part. If you give to this church, everything this church does, you have a part in that. Every person that gets saved, you have a part in that. Do you know every week I have people come up to me and say, Hank, I watch you on TV. I prayed that prayer with you. Do you understand that because you're part of this church that enables us to be able to do that, that's to your account? Do you understand that you're able to do things that'll keep growing? Even after Billy Graham dies, he's still going to be seeing more and more people. More and more people are going to be hearing him. This thing never stops. Here not long back, a lady came to the office. And she said, my dad watched Pastor Hank every week. And she said, he died and we're settling up his estate. But she said he wanted to make sure that out of his estate, he was able to give this much money to the broadcast, to the church for the broadcast. Now this man was already with Jesus. But you realize every week when somebody comes to me and says, hey, I prayed that prayer with you. Every week when somebody gets touched, this guy's still laying up fruit, laying up things into his account. That's pretty neat. See, now the devil would like to make you think you're insignificant and nothing you do makes a difference, but that's not the truth. So, long after you're gone, see what I'm saying is if I start thinking that way, if I start thinking like, man, I'm just not doing enough, I'm just no good, I just wish I could do more, I wish I did more, oh, I wish I would have, I wish I had have, I really should have. If I spend all my time thinking about that, thinking that way, then I'm not going after the prize. I'm not going after. But if I start thinking like, hey, everything I do makes a difference. Everything I do, every time I put in the offering, every time I help in one of the ministries, every time I shake somebody's hand here on Sunday, every time I'm an encouragement to somebody during the week, everybody I tell about Jesus, everybody, I'm making a difference. A lot more is going to happen if I'm thinking that way than if I'm thinking like the devil wants me to think. So now I just go, yeah, okay, I know I blew it, I didn't do it, I know I should have, God forgive me. Now let's do something different. Let's do something about this. See, I want you to walk in all that God has for you. I want you to walk in all His goodness. I want Him to do things in your life that are so big and that just make you in awe all the time. And I believe that's what God wants to do. But I want us to walk in that, but I want us to not lose sight of the mission. I want us to walk in all of that, but not leave the more important things undone. I want to close with one verse. David, he's been pursued, he's been oppressed, he's got opposition coming to him every way you can think, and he's really down, and he prays this prayer, or he says this in Psalms 142. He says, I looked on my right hand to see, for there is no one to acknowledge me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. The New Living says, I looked for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. You know something, folks? The world is full of hurting people. The world is full of people that don't know that somebody cares. The world is full of people that don't know anybody cares and they're on their way to hell. I just issue this challenge as we end. Somebody needs to care. Somebody needs to care. I just believe we can be a church that cares. Huh? I believe you can be a person that cares. Now I'll say this. I do things all the time As the pastor of the church, I try to do things. And I don't always have time to tell you and all that, but I try to do things that are going to put fruit in your account. And when you put something in that offering, to me, I think that's a big deal. If it's a little bit or if it's a lot, I think that's a big deal. And so what I want is, I want fruit to go into your account. So we help churches, we help ministries, we help people all over. Not as much as we're going to do, but I want fruit to go in your account. See, what I want you to begin to understand is, what I'm doing is important. Even the fact that you came here, that you remembered to set your clock up today. Even that fact, you know, you've already been a blessing to somebody else because somebody else looked around and saw you and they went, huh, good. I'm glad I came. See, every little thing you do is a seed that you sow. I just want us to be a church that cares. I believe we can come to a place to where we're a church that we don't see a need anywhere that we don't help. But it has to start with me, and it has to start with you. Does that sound like a pretty good deal? He said, go into all the world, and that's what we're trying to do. Somebody has to care. So why don't we care? How many think that's a good idea? If you vote that we care, just stand to your feet. We're going to be a church that cares. Now, I'm going to give an invitation here, and if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, that's why we had the whole service. And I got to mention this. Yesterday, had the funeral. We had a memorial for Dolores and talking about prayers going on, and John's grandson got saved right after the service yesterday. And I couldn't help but wonder, Javin, have I got that right? Whew, it's a hard name, but once you get it, you can't forget it. But I couldn't help but think, he might be a Billy Graham. Or he might be somebody that witnesses to somebody that's a Billy Graham. Or he might be somebody that witnesses to somebody that witnesses to somebody that witnesses to somebody that they are Billy Graham. Just remember that everything you do has some purpose. God's not going to do things through you by accident. And so every day when you wake up, realize you're on a mission. And I can do something. I can do something so that somebody will be reached. Is this okay? Let's give our teens another, and workers another hand clap. And now let's give... I want you to give yourself a hand clap and just for being part of all this. So go ahead, give yourself a hand clap. I'll clap for you. God is so good. And the truth is, we do everything we do. Everything we do it. So if you're not saved today, that you would get saved. So we're going to sing a song here, an invitation. And if you're here today and you're not saved, or maybe you've been saved and you backed away and you just say, I'm ready to have a fresh start today, Lord. And if that's you, come on down and we'll pray with you. We won't prolong this. Just hurry and come down.